Blog Talk Radio.
And since the American white man has used his control over the press and over the textbooks and over all forms of media to make it appear that he has done us a favor by bringing us here and enslaving us, then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has to rewrite history or retell history. And since the white man can't dispute this truth, he tries to defend himself by saying that Mr. Muhammad is teaching hate. It's not hate to say that we were kidnapped and brought here. It's true. It's not hate to say that we were Jim Crow, discriminated and segregated. It's true. It's not hate to say that the Supreme Court, which is the highest court in this country, came up with a hypocritical desegregation decision 9 years ago, which they haven't enforced yet. That's not hate. That's truth.
Your question is having said when an airliner crashed with a number of white people on board that you were glad it happened.
The white race in this country collectively are guilty of these crimes that our people are suffering from collectively. And therefore, they would suffer some collective disaster, collective grief. And when that plane crashed in France with 130 white people on it, and we learned that 120 of them were from the state of Georgia, the state that my own grandfathers was a slave in, why, to me, it couldn't have been anything but an act of God, a blessing from God, and I frankly and sincerely pray for similar blessings from him to repeat themselves as often as he can spare.
But I take it that you support the freedom-loving attempts of the peaceful marchers in Alabama and these places.
You don't get freedom peacefully. Freedom is never safeguarded peacefully. Anyone who is depriving you of freedom isn't deserving of a peaceful approach by the ones who are being deprived of their freedom. And when black people in this country come out from under the mental straitjacket that the Negro clergymen have placed them in and begin to see that the only way you can get freedom is to get it the same way the white man in this country got it from England. He says he got it from England. He was willing to pay the price for freedom. And when you're willing to pay the price for freedom, then you get it. But the Negro in this country has never been willing to pay the price for his freedom. All of the price that we've been paying in the past has been freedom for the white man. We fought abroad so that the white man in America could be free today to stick police dogs on us, to beat our people in the heads with police clubs, and to turn water holes on little women and children and babies simply because they want to walk down the street like decent human beings. That's now the only way you can have peace is to eliminate those injustices, and the American white man is not going to eliminate. He's going to talk that pretty talk, but he'll still continue to practice those inhuman deeds.
You got the Honorable Elijah's message yourself behind prison walls.
When I was a Christian, I committed many crimes, and those crimes led to my own imprisonment, and also led to my being very atheistic, agnostic first, and then atheistic. And it was only after hearing the religious teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that I became religious and was able to reform myself and rehabilitate myself. But I learned that after trying to reform and rehabilitate myself, that the American white man was more against me then than he was when I was a criminal, when I had criminal tendencies and was trying to carry out or practice his Christianity.
Do you blame Christianity for your crimes?
Christianity is one of the real causes of most of the condition that black people in this country are confronted with. It's the religious concept that Christianity has given Negroes in this country that makes us almost incapable of solving our own problems. The black man in this country has a different religious concept when he's a Christian than the white man has. If you notice, the black man is the only one who will turn the other cheek to his enemy, or who will love his enemy, or who will pray for those who despitefully use him just because he thinks that's what Jesus wants him to do. Now, the white man preaches the same thing, but he doesn't practice it.
Now, this refusal to integrate, surely it must lead to demands for your own state in America.
Black people in this country have been like a misfit white married to the white man here who hasn't treated us right. And today, since we have given up all hope of him ever changing, we want a divorce. We want a complete separation, but we want a property settlement. And we think that the white man, we think that the American government should give us a property settlement, which means part of this country, which they robbed from the Indians, with our help, and which they have worked up to make the kind of land that it is today.
Do you think this really practical? Don't you think that the future really lies with a peaceful transformation of the scene?
If the American government, the Supreme Court, the President of the United States, the and if more integration than they have, well, that's more impractical than separation. Practical means that which you can practice. And if the Supreme Court and the Army and the Navy and the government and the supposed to be for integration and you still can't get it, why, good night, you can't get it. It's impossible. but we can get separation overnight because we already have.
Mr. Robinson, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. I thank you for letting the people over in Europe know what the white man in this country is doing to black people and the hypocrisy he's practicing when he accuses them over there of not getting their house in order. 20 million black people in this country have been just as thoroughly colonized by the American white man in a more shrewd, modern way than all of the colonized people in Angola, South Africa, or any other part of this world. But the white man over here in France and Portugal and these other countries, accusing them of being colonial powers when he mastered colonialism before those countries ever knew what it was.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And greetings. Welcome to this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, also known as Dr. Filet. And, of course, we were just listening to El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, as we prepare to observe his Earth Day coming up for May 19th. We wanted to kick it off with kind of some pre-thoughts. As I'm doing research for the Regional Genocide 21 project, I find myself finding speeches and other kinds of information about Malcolm X that I had not seen before. Certainly, I don't know about you all, but I had not heard that particular interview before. And I found it very interesting, of course, given the fact that he touched on several things that we are going to be focusing on as we proceed with the Recharge Genocide 21 campaign. With that said, on May 19th, we will be launching our new website. The WCG21 website will be available on May 19th. You will be able to get an abundance amount of information there at that time, including membership. We will also be making the official announcement as to the date for the Recharge Genocide 21 Mass Assembly at the United Nations. We are ready to move forward. We have worked diligently to make certain that these next steps are going to be as productive and also will assist in advancing us to the next level. And now it appears that we are able to do this given the fact that many cities are, in fact, lifting restrictions as a result of the COVID-19. We had to put things on hold, obviously, because of that. And so on May 19th, we will announce the date that has been selected for our first mass assembly at the United Nations. Now, of course, in December, that will be the 400-plus delegation. The 400-plus delegation will deliver the what we call letter of intent. The letter of intent is basically the first steps for going into other aspects of this work. At some point, of course, we will go to France, Paris, France, as William Patterson did. And, of course, we plan to go to Geneva. But first things are first. And our thing is to educate our people. We don't want to just jump up and do stuff. We want to make sure that we are educating our people on the grassroots level because, again, message to the grassroots. Well, we heard the message. We embraced the message. And now the Malcolm X Legacy Collective is ready to move forward in that same spirit. When it comes to the issues of black nationalism, and again, to bring this forward, to bring it into the 21st century, where we dare say perhaps black internationalism. This is the conversation that we're going to have this coming weekend when we hold our May Reparatory Justice virtual conference starting on Thursday. Thursday through Sunday, we're going to start organizing for the mass assembly and for the going to the UN in December. And again, these are two different activities, two different events. Now, I'm going to give you more information about that shortly, but we're going to get ready to talk with Brother Mike Africa Jr. Now, with the Recharge Genocide 21, as you will hear more this weekend, more in depth, one of the cases or one of the examples that we will be presenting is the 1985 bombing that took place here in Philadelphia. Now, of course, at the end of this month, it will be the 100-year commemoration of the bombing of Tulsa. Now, a little later on, we're going to get a brief report from Brother Herschel Daniels on some activities that are occurring in regards to that. And then next week, we're going to talk with our brother who is there in Tulsa to get an update on what's going on in there, because there's a lot going on. But my point is, both of these cases are going to be introduced. Now, the 1985, of course, is more recent, and we believe it is one that is definitely going to enable us to move in a way that is going to be very, very progressive, mainly because it did, in fact, happen after 1948. It didn't, in fact, happen after the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was presented and signed. And so now, in the 21st century, we're able to bring some of these things forward, of course, for the past 400-plus years, but certainly in more recent times, we will cite specific cases, again, the 1985, March 13th bombing of the MOVE family, the MOVE house that enabled 64 homes to go up in flames as the Philadelphia police ordered to let the fire burn. Now, some of us remember that day very well. Some of us literally heard when he said it, because it was all on TV, and it was being covered, and he literally said this. We saw it. We heard it. We're going to talk to Brother Mike, who has been diligently fighting for the past 40 years, not quite 40 years, but you know, it's been 40 years that his parents were, in fact, incarcerated from the 1978 situation that occurred in Powhatan Village here in Philadelphia under the reign of the notorious Frank Rizzo, who, of course, became mayor later. Well, Mike, of course, was born in jail. His mother and father were, of course, at the MOVE compound in 1978, and, of course, the entire MOVE family was given 100 years for the alleged murder of a cop that all say and know they did not kill. At any rate, Mike was very much involved starting at the age of 13 and fighting to get his parents home, and not just his parents, but of course, Mumia Abu-Jamal and all the MOVE Nine and all of the political prisoners. Well, Mike is going to join us tonight. Again, he has been doing some tremendous, tremendous work. He and several that he's been working closely with. Of course, the MOVE family, definitely. But Mike is taking a very interesting kind of stance, being kind of the next generation. He's now hosting his own podcast, on the MOVE with Mike Africa Jr. Also, he is now the author of a book. The book is 50 Years on the MOVE, 50 Years on the MOVE. So, in other words, the MOVE organization has been in operation or in place for 50 years. And so he's going to talk a bit about the book tonight. And also, for those who have been kind of keeping up with things, then you know also, a few months ago, there was the release on HBO, 40 Years a Prisoner. Of course, Mike was very instrumental in that production, and he was kind of like one of the key entities because it kind of documented the fight for, you know, his parents in particular. And, of course, again, it included the MOVE Nine and, of course, Mumia Abu-Jamal. So, again, we're going to talk with Brother Mike in a few moments. And then after that, we're going to get a brief report from Brother Herschel Daniels in terms of what his organization is doing as it pertains to the Tulsa upcoming 100-year anniversary. And then last and certainly not least, we're going to talk with none other than Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. He's going to be joining us now. Again, for those who do not know, legislation is being prepared or presented to kind of reopen, I guess you can say, or further examine COINTELPRO papers. And in this particular situation, it's referring to the Black Panther Party, specifically in Chicago, and more particularly the files on for Chairman Fred Hampton. So Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. is going to talk about that tonight. And let me see. Hold on, something just came in. Let me check that. And also, we're going to talk about what's going on with Judas and the Black Messiah. Okay, there's been some really kind of interesting things that have happening since the release of the film that, of course, highlights the work, the mission, the vision, and, of course, the assassination of Fred Hampton, Chairman Fred Hampton. And so we're going to talk to Fred Hampton Jr. about that and what's going on with the Hampton House, of course, turning it into a historical center there in Chicago. We're going to talk to him about that and just some other things. So we got a really, really hot program going on tonight, family. So y'all need to buckle up because this is going to be all the way live for real. Okay, before we get started, again, we want to remind you for this weekend, there is going to be our March Recharge Genocide Reparatory Justice Conference. I'll give you some information on that a little later on. But again, for those who are really ready to sign up, get involved, volunteer, become members, join the task force, and so forth, this weekend we'll give you all the information that you will need to do so, to establish a unit in your community, to look at the campaigns that are relevant to all of our communities as it pertains to documenting slavery in your city. Yep, that's one of our campaigns. So I'm going to give you all that, a lot of that information this coming weekend, okay? All right, let's do this. Before we go any further, we're going to get ready to bring in Brother Mike Alford Jr. And again, I want to thank everyone for their $2 Tuesday donations and other donations that's been coming in. Really appreciate that. And hopefully folks will continue to pass on that information. Big shout out to Baba Yao, who got us some We Charge Genocide masks. Oh, that's right, family. If you all are interested in a We Charge Genocide mask, we now have that available for you, too. Give thanks again to Baba Yao for hooking that up for us. Let's see. 1 minute here. Okay. We'll bring in Brother Mike Africa in a moment. So let's see if we got the right number here. Uh-oh. What's going on? I'm not hearing anything. Okay. Something is, like, not happening. Okay. Something's going on. So let me try again because I did not hear it go through. So let's try that again. Maybe I did not write something down correctly, but I didn't even hear it ring or anything for some reason. Okay, let me see. Hold on 1 minute. Let me try one more time. Maybe I hit something wrong. Let's see. All right. Let's try this. Oops. Nope. That can't be it. All right. Something strange is kind of going on here, family. So give me a moment because for some interesting reason we're having a slight difficulty here, so let me try this again. All right, let's see if that did it. Okay, there we go. One more time, let's see. Hopefully it goes through this time. I'm still not hearing anything. Okay, that's interesting. So what we're going to do is utilize another system. Okay, wonderful. And now we can't get through. Okay.
This is Michael. Leave a message.
Okay. Nope, something's going on, family. So let's do this. Give me a moment. Hold on 1 minute. Okay, I just got a message, fortunately. Looks like either Sister Janet or Janine just text me. Let me see. Okay. Okay. I'm not sure what is going on, family, so we're going to switch over for a moment. And let me see if Brother Herschel is in queue. If he is, we'll go to him and try to see what's going on with connecting with Brother Mike. So, Brother Herschel, if you are in queue, you can press 1 now, and we will come to your report while we try to figure out what's going on with our connection. Now we're having some technical difficulties, which is not really too unusual. But I'll tell you what, and I don't see Brother Herschel in queue either. So this is what we're going to do, family. Bear with me. We're going to try to figure out what's going on the technical end. In the meantime, fortunately, I'm usually kind of prepared for stuff. So what I think we're going to do is play a tape for you. So this is like about 5 minutes, so please enjoy this presentation. What it is, it talks about, interestingly enough, Black human rights. And this is one of the outlets that we're looking at getting involved with in the next couple of weeks, and we're talking about Al Jazeera. Now, we've decided to reach out to some of the international media components because we wanted to see what the Black media was going to do here in the U.S. when we get ready to present Recharge Genocide. And rather than wait for their response, particularly the ones that we know are kind of maneuvered in a boule kind of format, we're not going to sit back and just wait for them to decide whether or not they want to cover it or support it or whatever. We hope they do, but if they don't, we'll be prepared. And with that said, we will have our own media outlets, you know, that are international. So if the Black media decides it does not want to do the right thing, it's okay, because we'll have some other operations in place. With that said, I'm going to play something for you, and this will kind of give you a general idea as to what I'm talking about. Check this out.
It might be time we stop talking about civil rights, especially the civil rights of Black Americans.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
Okay.
To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
That idea comes from
to replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. Your message has been sent. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Okay. I think we're back. I hope we're back. My apologies for that. We had some interesting difficulties for a few moments there. And that tends to happen every now and then. So I guess with tonight's program, with it being as powerful as it is, I guess we should have expected some kind of difficulty. But usually we're able to get it back on track. And so we have done so now. Okay, we're going to try again to connect with Brother Mike Africa. And again, our apologies for the technical difficulties. There was nothing we could really do about that until we figured out how to go around the back way, as they sometimes say. There's usually other kinds of ways you can get into, you know, certain types of apparatuses once you kind of learn the system. And, hey, it's about knowing this system. And with that said, we kind of were able to figure it out. So we're going to now reach out, and hopefully we're able to connect
Hello?
With Brother Mike. Okay, we
Hello?
Got him, finally. Hey, Brother Mike, how are you?
I'm all right, on the move. I got a bunch of screaming kids here. It's Saturday night, so it's like what they call that, play date. Wait, no, not that. sleepover. They're having a sleepover. It's 15 kids here, whatever it is. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So you got me. I'm here, full attention.
Okay, we got you. And listen, it was so funny because, I mean, I had so many technical difficulties tonight, and I should have known that because I got you on, and then after you, we got Jim and Fred coming, so I should have known we would have some technical difficulties.
That's what they do.
But thank you, my brother, for taking the time to join us tonight. This has been a whirlwind of a week for you, I know. I don't even really know where to begin. I guess to say, of course, the other day, May 13th, was absolutely, you know, in terms of the folks that organized and you being, you know, one of the key people in organizing, and you and the other brothers and sisters did an excellent, excellent job in the commemoration for May 13th. So tell us a little bit about that. You know, I know it was a very just kind of emotional day for you. In fact, this whole past couple of weeks have been like that, considering the latest information that was disclosed. But before we go into that, tell us about this year, for the 36th year of commemorating one of the most horrific things I think any of us have seen in our lifetimes. Tell us a little bit about it for you this week.
So I think the thing that sticks out to me the most, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
The thing that sticks out to me the most about this year is that, you know, you can't right this type of wrong, you know. There's nothing you can do. You can't bring people's family back. You can't bring back people's children. But there is such a thing as atonement. There is such a thing as restorative justice. There is such a thing as accountability. And the city council of Philadelphia issued an apology for what happened to MOVE in 1985 and I worked with Amy Gaultier, who is the city councilwoman who introduced the resolution, and to make this apology so that the opportunity for recognition for what happened would never be a thing that goes unnoticed. And so when we had this in place, and it was all scheduled for May 13th to be an annual day of remembrance for what happened on May 13th, 1985. And when all these other things came out, that not only did MOVE have a bomb dropped on them and 11 people murdered, and government officials testify to this murder, and we watched these officials who committed these murders walk. We watched them walk free and not be punished in any way for what they did. And then 36 years later, we found out that the city officials, medical examiners, Penn Museum, Princeton, they were keeping the remains. They had kept the remains of the 11 victims, or of a couple of victims, so they say, so far.
Right.
And the victims were two girls, two black girls, 14 and 12 mm-hmm. years old, Tree and Delisha Africa. And then after that, we find out on May 13th, 2021, that not only did they have Tree and Delisha's remains, they also had remains from other MOVE members too.
Mm.
The Penn Museum and Princeton and the city of Philadelphia too. So this year has probably been the hardest year to get through in regards to the bombing, other than the bombing itself, the year of the bombing itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, you know, the city and the perpetrators involved in this, Janet Mons, Alan Mann, I'm not even thinking about Farley, because
mm-hmm.
it seems like, I don't know, that's the whole fishy thing, that Fall Guy type stuff.
Right.
So there's a whole lot of stuff that's happening right now. There's an investigation that's not even close to over, and we're trying to figure things out and get to the bottom of it as we speak.
So with that said, Mike, two things. So, all right, just to give folks some clarity in case there are some people who don't know, and particularly if you're not in the Philadelphia area, there's some little fine points here that we're going to bring to your attention. Now, what Mike is referring to is, of course, that it was kind of discovered. And just briefly, let's kind of give folks how that happened, Mike. And again, the family, the MOVE family, knew absolutely nothing about what we're going to tell you that was apparently recently, very recently, revealed. And that is that there were classes online being conducted by the university for anthropology and some form of forensic studies. And with that said, the samples that they were using was, in fact, remains of the children. So with that said, Mike, when you and the other family members heard or learned about, well, first of all, how did you learn of this? How did you find out?
I was at home. Somebody was trying to track me down. They had heard about this for a while, and they were trying to track me down for a while. You know, sometimes I'm kind of hard to reach. You know, I don't know. Sometimes
yeah,
I'm hard to reach.
I know.
And even if you reach me, sometimes it's hard to, you know, nail me down. I got a lot of stuff going on. You know me.
Right.
So they were trying to reach me for a while, and they finally did, sending me a message through someone else, a trusted friend. And they asked me, had I heard about this thing where Penn was keeping the remains of MOVE children? And I'm like, no. So they showed me some information about it. They showed me a video. And when they showed the video, I immediately, after the conversation in the video I watched, I called Pam Africa and I told her. And then we called other people in the family, and Pam and I began to expose it to our friends. And then a couple of media people called, and we told them.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of them told us certain things because they knew more than we knew in some ways.
Mm.
So once it was published, Abdul Ali Muhammad published an opinion piece about it in the Philadelphia Inquirer. And when they did that, you know, people started calling me from everywhere. people from the New York Times, the Guardian newspaper, CNN, Washington Post. It was the Daily Pennsylvanian. It was just, you know, coming from everywhere. Democracy Now! Did a conversation with me about it. And, you know, that just exploded the whole thing. Like, all those things coupled together and just made it national and international news.
Okay. And roughly when did this happen? When you and Pam began to...
I know it was on a Sunday. Let me see. It was some
weeks
ago.
5 weeks ago. Okay.
Was some weeks ago. It was a while ago.
Okay.
I guess it feels like longer, but it was probably just 5 weeks ago.
Right. Yep. Okay. I just wanted to put it in context because, you know, I'm not a spooky person, but I do really believe in there being like sometimes a metaphysical thing going on. And I just found it so interesting that this began to, first of all the family is home, right? Then here we are approaching the 36th year of this horrific situation. So right within this time period, this energy, you know, to me, begins to manifest. And now, you know, truth is kind of really starting to emerge. So I say to people that the coronavirus, even though it had its, you know, definitely had its downfalls and problems and so forth, it has revealed so much. You know, it has helped people to see things a little clearer during this time period. So again, I just found it real interesting that this type of thing, once again, is being shown so clearly. I mean, this is so blatant. This is so blatant. This is like, you know, knowing that Trump got a hood in his drawer. It's that clear. So... with that said, we know something else is going on, which the Mu family has said from day one, once this was discovered, that, something else is going on. Meaning, within the past few days after the dude resigned or got fired, or, you know, some say he got fired, some say he resigned. At any rate, he's out. He, like you said, he's the fall guy. But now, there seems to be another story. With initially the remains were cremated, and now there's a story saying that they weren't. What is what, Mike?
So yesterday, May the 12th, I got a call from someone who said that the mayor wanted to talk. And did I want to talk? It was a family member who asked me, did I want to talk? And I said, what does the mayor want to talk to me about? And said, well, they want to talk because they got some interesting news. And they can't wait. They can't wait. So I said, okay, let's see what this interesting news is. And was it May the 12th? No, it was May the 13th. May the 13th, because I was planning for the event. I said, I don't have time to meet with the mayor. I got this event that I'm working on with folks, and I don't have time to stop what I'm doing to go meet with the mayor. So it was May 13th. And then so I went down to the, family member Pam told me, she said, well, I'm going. It's important. And he's got some really important stuff. So I say, okay, I'll go with you. We get there, and the mayor tells us that not only did the Penn Museum have remains of Mu people, but they found remains of other people, too, in a different location. So I couldn't believe it. I mean, you never put anything past these people, right? Don't expect the evil that they, you just don't expect it. It just, I don't expect it.
Right.
So when
right.
they said that, so I told them when they said that, I told them that, you know, other than, I mean, aside from some other things, I told them that, you know, I want to see him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him. And they said that they had some records. They said that they had incinerated all of the remains. And I told them that I wanted to, they said the remains are gone, but I said, I want to see the records that came, that the record, that, you know, that explains things. They said, okay. Next day we went to the medical examiner's office and I got a call while I was at the medical examiner's office that the remains, in fact, were not cremated. That they were there at the office. So, yeah, they were there. Not only were they never cremated, they were at the office that we were actually in.
Oh, my God.
I saw some gruesome things. I saw some gruesome things that day, Crystal. I saw some gruesome things that day. That was yesterday. So I saw reports of how people died and how they were brought in. Reports that say things like the Alicia, who was probably 3'9" tall, after the fire, she was only 27" tall. It's so messed up.
Wow. When I looked at the paper today and saw that, they found them. I'm like, what? How does that happen? I mean, how do you do that for 36 years and not know, or someone knew, and I'm sure, you know, that the family will definitely be getting more information and finding out more as this thing goes on. And this is what I meant by, you know, there's something in the air, for lack of a better terminology. There's something going on. You know, our people for 400 plus years have been praying and crying and, you know, you name it, for justice, period. And, you know, it's just some things that are happening now that just kind of seems like the jig is up. You know, as the Rastas say, Babylon is falling.
Yeah.
That's becoming very clear.
Yeah, I feel that same. I feel that same energy, and I feel that if we don't take the opportunity to use this opportunity to help them, to help ourselves assist Babylon in its falling.
Yes. Yes.
We don't. You know, I look at this struggle that we're in, similar to the way that I look at our own personal health struggles, right? Like, I am a person who practices fitness and I exercise and I, you know, eat healthy and all of this stuff, right?
Right.
And I know that if I don't do those things, then my body will not respond in a way that is going to be beneficial to me.
Right.
I feel like the maintenance that I have to do on myself is the same maintenance that we have to do in our community. And the same maintenance that we do in our community is the same maintenance that we apply in the world, right? Like, when your body is sick, when you're not healthy, you're not well, you do certain things to make yourself well, right? It's not enough sometimes to just allow your immune system to fight it off. Sometimes you got to take extra measures. You got to go through. You got to go deeper. You got to go stronger. You got to tighten up more, right? That's how we got to be with the system. That's it. The system is sick. It's weak. Mm-hmm. It's a danger to our immune system. It's a cancer to our cells. It's a danger, right? We got to fight this thing and cut it out. Like, we got to get rid of it. It ain't something that we can just wait for immune system to fix. We got to destroy this thing. Because if we don't, it's going to destroy us. And that's exactly what it's doing.
That's
right. Exactly what it's
Absolutely.
Doing. Brothers, we got to have talks with our kids. With our sons and tell them, don't reach a certain way or don't move too fast if the police stop you. You know, carry two licenses, one in your wallet and one in the visor. So if you get stopped, your hands are already up when you reach to give them your license. Right? We got to have these conversations about how they got to conduct themselves when they're young. You know what kind of trauma that does to their mind? You know, to have to live in fear all their lives, ever since they were kids, because somebody don't like the way they look. This system is rotten, and it proves itself that it's rotten every single day, all day, 365, 24/7. You know, and we got to help this thing fall. We got to support the missions of other people and each other to help this thing fall and bring it down all the way to its knees and cut its throat.
No doubt about it. And I dare say at this stage of the game, with all that has really kind of been made pretty clear, folks are either going to be part of the problem or part of the solution. It has come to that. Those lines are now not only, you know, drawn in the sand, those lines are like, hey, what side are you really on? And I think people now are, you know, forced to kind of make those kind of decisions, and you can't straddle the fence any longer. I think that's one of the things that I heard clearly at the commemoration on Thursday. And of course, it's been said, you know, for a while now, but again, I think this time period is really making it just resound, you know, so very strongly. Something you just said, Mike, and I want to go back to that for a moment. And you said in telling our children about, you know, the dangers of being living in America, being black. You, of course, are very familiar with being traumatized as a child. Of course, being born in prison, and then, you know, from roughly the age of 13, having to fight ongoing, you know, for your parents to be free, and others to be free, to Mu'nai, Mumia, and others to be free. So you know of, you know, various types of trauma. With that said, you know, again, let's go back for a moment in 40 years a prisoner. And again, thank you for you know, coming on with us once that was released a few months ago. But again, for those who have not seen it yet, we strongly suggest that you do. And now we have Brother Mike with us live and in living color to really kind of fill in some things for you. So with that said, it was very clear, you know, the emotion and just the joy, you know, of that accomplishment. How are your parents doing, by the way?
They're doing great right now. I mean, they're aside from this latest thing where they're forced to relive this trauma all over again, from that, I mean, my mom was really close to those kids. Last time she saw them was when they were really young. And they were going, she gave them a bath to send them down to Virginia to get away from the confrontational atmosphere in the Philadelphia area. And when she gave them all a bath to send them so they could be nice and clean, the last thing she expected was that would be the last time she would see them. And that was in 1977. So she's really taking this really hard.
aside from that, I mean, and before this, you know, all surfaced, you know, they were doing, and they're still doing good. You know, they got their own place, they got their own, you know, their own way and their own, you know, they're independent and they're,
right.
and they're a nice little love nest and doing their thing. And they're very much so actively involved in the community and the work and, you know, just trying to like use the wisdom that they've accumulated over the years to support and to help guide these activities that I'm doing and other people are doing too. And they're also making their own film right now too. About
oh
their
wow!
Okay. They got a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, they're busy. They're busy.
Okay, so again, family, for those who have not seen 40 Years a Prisoner, go check it out. It's still available. And you will certainly see just, you know, some very amazing kinds of things. The hard work really finally, you know, it's unfortunate it took 40 years, but, you know, this system, if it was left up to them, it would have never happened. So one of the cliches or one of the things that, that Mike is known for is never give up, never give up. And that was echoed, you know, throughout the not only the film, but throughout the movement, throughout the whole time of fighting, you know, to get your parents home. And then finally, after 40 years, they walk out, you know. So, wow. Again, family, you all need to go check that out. One other thing I want to kind of digress for one moment. I remember the press conference that was held over at 52nd Street when it was first discovered or when it was presented to the public by the family, you know, of the findings in terms of the classes and so forth that were being taught by University of PNN, Princeton. And when you got up to speak, Mike, again, it was emotional for everyone. But you also were able to share some things that just really, you know, was just, I mean, it bowled people over. I know it did for me in talking about your relationship and experiences with Tree in particular. And you talked about how with her being older, you know, she took on this responsibility of taking care of everyone else. I thought it was like really important that people really understood or had a better understanding of the real kinds of relationships, the real kinds of connections, and why this was as painful as it is.
Yeah. People need to see people as people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They don't need to think of us as only names on a T-shirt.
Mm.
You know, Trayvon Martin was a person.
Mm-hmm.
He was a 17-year-old kid who liked to smoke weed and eat Skittles, and you know, he had a girlfriend, and they probably talked about future. You know, even if it wasn't serious, they probably talked about some future stuff, and he had plans. He wanted to do things. Just think about a 17-year-old and the kind of things they like to do.
Hmm.
And that was, you know, he was a kid. He was, you know, and for him to be taken, his life to be taken by Zimmerman and it be accepted, like he's like Trayvon Martin's nothing. Like he's nothing. He's a piece of the sidewalk that he was knocking George Zimmerman's head up against. Like he's nothing. And, you know, no accountability, no justice. And the same is true for Fred Hampton and Mark Clark. And the same is true for so many others that we've seen their lives just be taken. And a lot of times people don't recognize these people because they don't know them. They just hear you talking about them, and they still, even though they understand what you're saying, they really don't fully connect. They don't really fully relate because they don't know the people themselves, but they can empathize with your feelings that you have. But when you start talking about them with names, with stories, things that they can see and they can envision themselves doing, then that makes it more real for them. And so when I tell you that Tomato had a big stomach, and every time I saw him, I would say to him, did you swallow a whole watermelon? And he would wrestle me to the ground and try to, you know, impose his strength on me, right? But when you look at his stomach, when you look at pictures of him, he had one of them stomachs that looked like he swallowed a watermelon. And when you see that he was just a 9-year-old, fun-loving, silly little kid, just like me, you know, it makes it more infuriating that his life was snuffed out that way. When you see a picture of him charred, burned, and terrified, you know, who would do this to a 9-year-old kid? What kind of monster would cover up and protect the people who did this to a 9-year-old kid? What kind of system are we dealing with that would allow something to happen like this? And these people will punish and send to prison for much lesser crimes. You smoke marijuana and you get more years in prison than the people that bombed and burned a 9-year-old. I mean, it's tragic. It's horrible. It's egregious. And this is why it's important to humanize our people, because we have been deemed monsters, and we have been determined, they determined us to be less than human and savage and all these things, but when it is in fact them that are everything they accused us of being. And humanizing our people and exposing what happened to them for who they really were, it helps us get that message across.
I'm not going to hold you much longer, Mike, because I know you got to get back to the children. But I just want to remind everyone that, as Mike indicated, no one in terms of the city or related to the city were charged or, you know, as I'm researching and reviewing as we are preparing, again, to charge genocide in this matter, I ran across something that I had totally forgotten about because it's been 36 years and happened to run across this, Mike, that now we knew, of course, that Sister Ramona was the only one that was charged and went to jail. And by the way, family, you will hear from Sister Ramona on May 29th for this month's Umoja Unity Talk. So we'll tell you more about that a little later on. But the thing that I ran across was when I saw that the police commissioner was ordered to pay Ramona $1 for X amount of weeks as his punishment.
Yeah, $1 a week for 11 years. That was the punishment, and it was based on, at the time, it had been 11 years since they dropped the bomb. So they made him pay $1 a week for 11 years. And then they took that back and said, you don't have to pay $1 a week. You don't have to pay anything.
Wow. Okay, I want to move forward just a bit. Family, we're going to give you all a quick, like, 5 minutes because we are running about 15 minutes behind. As you know, we had some technical difficulties, and we got Brother Herschel in queue, and then we're going to bring in Chairman Fred. And so I do want to give folks the opportunity just to ask maybe one or two quick questions, but we're going to have to bring Mike back. We'll do it at an earlier time because we know late is difficult for you, Mike. So we're going to do it at an earlier time. And also, hopefully, we'll have either Sister Janet and Sister Janine, one or both, on next week to do the follow-up. So we're going to continue this conversation and this dialogue next week. But before we do, I want to go, Brother Mike, for a minute, and let's kind of fast forward, because this is going to be continuing, obviously. The city of Philadelphia has, of course, hired an independent law firm, which tells you right away they know that, you know, they just wrong, period, and they're trying to cover their little backs and their little trails so far with the first firing. But we know them hiring this independent law firm and indicating they're going to do an investigation. So with that said, we'll come back to that. We know that more will be developing. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with you right now in terms of, we know there's On the Move with Mike Africa Jr., the podcast, and also there's a recent book that has been released. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so thanks for bringing that up. So people heard a Move, but there's a lot of information that makes people confused about who Move is or what the origin is. So we created a book years ago called 25 Years on the Move. And then recently I just worked on with a partner to publish 50 Years on the Move, the history of the Philadelphia-based Move organization. And we did it in a summary form. So it's really short. It's like 72 pages, but it's a summary so that for the people who've never really heard a Move, or even for some people who have and know certain things, this book will give you some really cool details and some really quick stories about the organization and our 50-year history. And people can go to that's on my website. They can go to www.mikeafricajr.com to get that. And it's $15.95, $20 with shipping and handling. And there's that. And then for a lot of work that I'm doing, I created a Patreon account, a campaign for people to be engaged and support, you know, the work that we're doing. And they can see, if they sign up for the Patreon, you get to see a lot of cool things that you won't see otherwise. Like, one of the things that I do is I record some of the podcast episodes, and you get to see the video of some of that stuff. Like the most recent one I recorded with me and my mom and my wife for Mother's Day, and you get to see how they. It's some kind of messed up stuff a little bit, because you get to see how they teamed up on me and, like, made me spend a bunch of money that I wasn't supposed to on them.
Right.
And I was explaining to them, like, mothers get, like, I mean, we love the women, right? We take care of them, and with the queens, we give them all of the fancy, expensive stuff. But then when Father's Day come around, we get, like, pancakes, right? Like, and that's cool. We appreciate the pancakes, but, like, it ain't the same as, like, these Robin what? Like new hardwood floors and iPhones, whatever. And I get pancakes and waffles and Happy Father's and a T-shirt. But it's all good though. So, you know, you get to hear some of that conversation on if you check out the Patreon, you get to see that conversation, that footage. And then my dad joined us for the episode too. And you can patreon.com/MikeAfricaJr. I'm on all of the social media platforms at Mike Africa Jr. The Patreon is what I'm pushing now. And also for the people who donate, 10% of every dollar that we bring in goes to the children of incarcerated people. So as a person who grew up without parents myself, once we reach a certain amount of money, we don't want to give people $17, right? So, but once we get a certain amount, we're going to donate a portion of that to children of incarcerated parents. Yeah.
All right. Wonderful, wonderful. And by the way, family, if you go check out Mike Africa Jr.'s podcast On the Move, I'm featured in one of the March episodes.
Yes, because March is Women's Month, and we wanted to highlight some of the powerful women, some of the powerful sisters in the city of Philadelphia especially, and because you created the Million Woman March, you know, we wanted to bring that to light more than it already was, and highlight you as a person who was just very powerful and and steadfast and continuing on and a mentor to a lot of people like me.
What many don't know, Mike, is that, you know, we had lives before the Million Woman March. You know, we was in the hood, in the community, doing this work. So it was really wonderful to you know, reconnect with you on that vibe. But then for me, you know, to reconnect with you on the vibe of what we were prior to that was also wonderful, too. So to be able to come to your home and, you know, see the children and just feel the vibrations of the family, that for me was just like, hey, that was my mother's, what was it, Women's History Month gift.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, my brother. So listen, give out that website one more time, and we're going to work on getting you back. It's, like you said, it's hard catching up with you, but you know I'll track you down, right?
Yeah.
And I know where you live.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Okay, so yeah, go to my website, www.mikeafricajr.com, and you can get all, I can connect you to everything that's dealing with MOVE and our activities and books and all of that. Go to www.mikeafricajr.com.
All right, my brother. Well, again, thank you so much. And, you know, give your mom and dad a big hug from me. And listen, continue to do what you're doing because you're doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And, you know, we're very proud of you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It makes me feel good to hear
all
that.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
No
well, you have a great night. To your listeners, thank you for listening, and let's stay on the move.
All right. Thank you, my brother. All right, family. We are going to move forward. We're going to have to wait for the questions because we're running a little behind schedule. So we're going to get Brother Mike on again very, very soon, and certainly the situation with the family, as you know, we're certain that there's going to be some new developments this week. In fact, I talked with Sister Pam yesterday, and I can assure you there are some new developments coming, and you will hear about it very, very soon. Okay, before we bring on Chairman Fred, we are going to go to Brother Herschel real quick and get his report, of course. His organization, he's going to tell you about that, and also the recent filing. So without further ado, Brother Herschel, you are on. Thank you for being patient. Unfortunately, we had like some technical difficulties that put us a little behind schedule, so thank you for being patient and staying there. But the mic is now yours, so welcome to this segment, A New Day.
Well, I appreciate it. And
you're breaking up a little.
Is this better?
Better. Much better. Thank you.
Okay, so sorry, I'm on my backup. Okay.
Okay.
One, everybody should know on December 31st that the 106 nations voted to create a permanent forum on people of African descent worldwide. All 1.6 billion plus of us. Okay. And so that will be in existence before the end of the 75th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
that's in effect now. I spoke before the United Nations on it last month. And so that's coming into being. So everybody needs to know that we have a unified voice of all people of African descent coming into being. So that's happening on April 29th at the UN in the Indigenous Peoples Forum. We created the Indigenous Peoples Alliance globally. Black folk here in America, Native Americans, Indigenous people of the Americas, Indigenous people of Africa, Indigenous people of Asia, Indigenous people of Oceania united and created an Indigenous Peoples Alliance worldwide. And so that was part of the official Indigenous Peoples Forum of the United Nations. And so the Indigenous people of Africa so far are the Akan, the Mandinka, and the Igbo and others are coming in this week. In terms of domestically, on Friday, this became part of the application to the Biden administration for domestic funding, that they released the rules this past week on the release of $350 billion domestically. And I think it's for Philadelphia, I'll get you the exact number, but the last figure that they were talking about was somewhere north of $1.1 billion. And as I said to you, and I made you a promise pre-COVID last year, I would keep you and your community, okay, involved in what we know at Friends of the African Union. And we're keeping that promise. And that we're keeping that promise as we go to Tulsa to challenge the critical race theorists. And that we're going to Tulsa to challenge the Heritage Foundation and the Republican Party.
Yes.
We're going to Tulsa with the World Conference of Mayors and over 40 mayors who are coming in and others in Blacks in Government, in which to put together a scientific economic history of America from 1619, August 25th, to August 25th, 2019. And so as we do this, we're asking for $6 trillion for Black folk, and 6T. Okay, and so in that, no congressional action needed. This is not H.R. 40. All right, and so this is so the last piece I'll leave you with. As you know, we signed those bank agreements before. We've now signed on 1 January a 4-year agreement with PNC Bank for $88 billion. Now, on this, there's plenty of time for the community to get organized, in which, in terms of a plan in Philadelphia and elsewhere, to take advantage of this. This is stuff that's done, already done. Now, if we don't take advantage of it, then, okay, it's nobody's fault. I want to hear in 2024, well, they kept it from us, but we didn't know. Okay, all right, so I'm making sure that you and your community know that this
You're fading out again.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, back up.
Okay,
home.
There you are.
Anyway, so I wanted to make sure that, you know, it's in writing. One thing you have to do is cashcommunitydevelopment.org or Friends of the African Union. You can just Google us. We're all up in there.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Wikipedia and et cetera. Or go to blackfolksplan.org, and we're there. It gives you the explanation. And again, we started in Philadelphia in January 16th, 2020. And when you read me the riot act, that the people in Philly didn't contact you, that you weren't part of it, and et cetera. And, you know, now I've kept my word. We'll keep my word.
You did.
You and your community is involved. We've already made a $250,000 investment in real estate in Philadelphia. Okay, and we're about to make more investment in the neighborhoods. Okay, so look forward to working with you and your community in the plan of action. Now, fundamentally, we'll disagree on some things, but what we always will agree is that we're all people of African descent. Okay, and those who may look like us but not act in our interest, we identify and we bring together what the solution shall be. You can see what we are. It's already posted. That's my report, sister.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Brother Herschel, thank you. Thank you for keeping your word, and definitely thank you for the report. We certainly appreciate that. And, you know, again, I'm writing several books right now, and one of them is something, it's a theory that I've been working on that I'm not going to go into right now because that's down the road a bit, but it deals with practical unity. Now, over the years, some of us have studied functional unity, operational unity, and other forms that have been presented to us. And so I've developed something called practical unity. And I bring that up because you said something and you're so on point, and that is we're not all going to agree on everything, and we shouldn't be expected to do so. But there is something that deals with practicality, some things that we can practice in terms of being unified. And those are things that we want to start pointing out more. It doesn't make sense for us to think that everybody can and should do the same things. That's not how the body works. And so we are smart enough today, we're blessed enough today to recognize and understand, hey, you do you, I'll do me, we'll do us. And at some point, it comes together, and then we can do what we need to do in representing our ancestors and fighting for our people. So I truly appreciate the information and definitely being a man of your word, because there's very few today, I can tell you. And as far as Philly is concerned, oh, my gosh. This is why... you know, I say very clearly, it's just like, you know, we just had Brother Mike Africa on. I've been knowing Mike probably for like 35 years or something like that. My point is that, you know, when you look at Philadelphia as with other cities, you can tell who's really been doing the work consistently, you see, and the type of work that they do. And I'm one of the people in Philly. I can tell you who has been doing what and why. And I'm going to tell it, because we have a lot of frauds in front. So again, I really appreciate, you know, you really, you know, keeping your word and being, you know, and doing what you do. So thank you again. All right, my brother. Again, we will stay in touch, and I look forward to the documents that you're sending me. All right, good days. All right, family. We're going to move forward. And again, I thank all of you for being patient. And right about now, without further ado, and definitely last but certainly not least, my brother, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. is in the house. And wow, I'm sorry I missed him today. He's right here in Philly from what I'm hearing. Hey, Chairman, what's going on? Kim and Fred? Uh-oh. Not hearing you. What's going on?
Okay.
There you go. All right. I got you. There you go.
Right on.
You had me worried there. We had some problems starting out tonight. So I was like, not again.
Yes, indeed. We have a direct here in Philadelphia, as you just stated, here in Philadelphia. Getting in later than expected. Supposed to be and intended to be here earlier for the event today in regards to acknowledging the 36-year the Bomb on the Move community. And,
We want
to follow up, you know, this in particular at this time with so many revelations, coming out in particular, remains of the children and. I want to reference it as not that relegated to this of the Move children, our children, our babies, the people's children,
That's right.
This is just in our community. As we say, the people's pain reflects, and this is just, again, another sign. On the way here in the airport, a brother from Chicago, we had a layover at the same spot. He was asking where I was going. I was telling him Philadelphia, and I was telling him, the Move May 13th. He's about to walk away, and I brought up to him. I said, you know what's been recently revealed. He was like, and I told, and I went on to talk about it. He said, wow. He said, well, why would they, And I said, but again, we can't even fathom the limitations in which this system, not just that of the law enforcement, just not the military aspects, the educational system, the scientists, again, this entire machine, in this war waged against us, and the dissecting, the studying of us, our people, our babies, mm-hmm. our, again, it's difficult to even fathom, you know, and what limitations. In fact, there are no limitations in which the system go to in regards to, you know, wiping us out, genocide.
That's right. That's right. Chairman, were you able to hear what some of Mike was saying?
I wasn't able to catch. I just tuned in, like, literally. I just got in a couple of minutes ago, so I wasn't able to catch. I'm definitely touch down on Mike before I leave out of here. But if you can't bring me up to speed, what did I miss?
Well, and this just happened yesterday, as a matter of fact. And by the way, I posted a picture of you and Mike and his mom I found earlier.
So a part
of our slideshow. It was wonderful.
Debbie Africa, you know, man, no doubt. And Mike just passed April 24th for Mumia Abu-Jamal's birthday. Yeah, no doubt
right.
about it. Respect.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what Mike shared with us was, now, and again, this just happened. This just happened yesterday. On May 13th, they announced that they were, or that the health commissioner under this present administration, apparently he was around back then too, right? At any rate, if not around, he knew something. Right.
Yeah.
So the point is, he resigned on May 13th. Okay.
Yeah.
He resigned on May 13th. You know, he was fired, but they said he resigned. Now, that was Thursday. Then yesterday, it was, on Thursday, they said that he was involved in either giving the order, permission, or whatever it was, to have the remains cremated that he had access to, that he, told whoever it was to cremate it. Well, yesterday it was disclosed that they found more remains. That at least some of the remains that they thought had been supposedly cremated wasn't. So for 36 years, they have had remains of the bodies and the reports that they never released. And Mike kind of gave us some insight into what some of the reports read. They apparently did some real research on the bodies, which we know they did based on the fact that that's how they got caught, because they were doing classes online.
You know,
with some of the remains of the bodies. But now, as it turns out, Chairman Fred, they literally had in some kind of storage bin or something actual, if not all of the remains, at least some of the actual remains that had not been cremated. But the actual remains that were taken from the site, put somewhere.
I think, let me say this. I think it was Prescott Bush, the grandfather of former U.S. President George Bush Senior. Since then, Prescott Bush was supposed to have had the skull of Geronimo of the Apaches.
Yes, I heard that.
I also want to add that there's no statute of limitations with terrorism, and we must struggle to put dates like May 13, 1985, February 21st, 1965, August 7th, 1970, August 21st, 1971, December 4th, 1969, August 8th, 1978. These dates should be acknowledged as our September 11 stories. I just spoke, myself, my mother, comrade, Akua, and Jerry just spoke on the congressional forum a few days ago, this in regards to the COINTEL profile on Chairman Free Happy Black Panther
Party.
Yes. And by no means do we want people to be under the impression that even with the files that they're not doctored or, you know, altered at minimum. You know, I've told people, I said, you know, I've done statements and I've seen the articles written the same day and see how they have been twisted. However,
that's right.
It's imperative that we seize the time in which
that's right.
people can have, you know, acknowledge the attacks to the wage on people, because one of the disadvantages that we have that people don't think that there is a war waged upon us. You know, I've said a number of occasions that we hope that there's some sort of a Nuremberg hearings, like they had in Nazi Germany. Nuremberg hearings, in which many of the SS soldiers and the SA soldiers, that it was a defense that they had, in which said, men said, we just was following orders. And all of these entities that are complicit, and not just the Uncle Sam's, the Sambos, not just the Gringos, but also the Negroes, you know what I'm saying, the different laws, the music, the propaganda, the schools, and, you know, and you know, put it in a political, in a historical context, because there's continued attempt to dismiss the tax ways against us just on racism, or we want people to like us, understand us, but the studying of our bodies, you know what I'm saying, again, we can afford to look at sexuality. We cannot afford to look at the war ways upon some sort of subjective, elementary sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
This system is so diabolical, so Machiavellian. They would when they kidnapped us from Africa, they would pick, you know, according to our body sizes. And,
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
Who would be best fitting to be, you know, say, on plantations in the tobacco fields in North Carolina, as opposed to those, which ones would be better fit to work in the cotton fields in Mississippi? This is cause in so many cases they try to say it's just a racist white people. You know, this is, I mean, they study us. Again, this is a war tactic. Anything from, they talk about, like, I think even in Quantico, Virginia, it was revealed that they had a certain. The FBI had came out a study that what attracts black people to, like, the decibel, the vernacular of a voice, like even the preachers in our churches, when they speak, how to tap into our, you know, into our minds, to our hearts, you know, and we have to struggle to, you know, assess this. This is a conversation that must be inclusive in everything, whether you want to talk about vaccines, whether you want to talk about Tuskegee experiments. It's not some sort of abstract paranoia. You know what I'm saying? Again, I can't stress enough the political nature of this. I recall we was downtown Chicago doing some protests around political prisoners. And a lady came downstairs and she said she used to work for the law enforcement inside the federal building. And she said they have on their walls the different sweeps of different organizations and men, black men in particular, even black women, they have their photographs up on the walls, kind of like you look at the deer antlers and the elephant's tusk that you see, like, hunters have on the walls. You know, say the prey, and according to the rank of different individuals, if they were, they would even go as far as say this was an alpha male, they would have them, you know what I'm saying, posted. It's a I'm watching an animal show the other night, one of them nature show, and they pulled this white hunter over, maybe in Virginia somewhere, and they had to prove to them that the antlers were a certain length, and also that it was a male, it was a buck. That's the only way. He said you're allowed to kill certain bucks, and, you know, and their antlers would show how old they were, and, you know, and even their strength. And you get, and the deal is that is so even if it's just some racist hunters out there, the study of us, you know what I'm saying, and can't stress this enough, you know what I'm saying, really, again, the different dynamics of it, you know what I'm saying, about this war being waged on us.
Wow, wow. Terry, go back for one moment. How did that come about that the files became open? How did that happen? Because we need to look at getting that done in every state.
Well, the process now is it was a forum, and which proceeds a hearing, and
okay.
This combination of things. And I'm glad you asked that question, because we're told that movements come, they trickle down from the top down. Like, in other words, like somebody in the system got some sort of good feeling of recognizing the wrongdoing and say, okay, let's have a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is on the opposite. It comes from a groundswell, you know, from the valley. That's what shakes the mountaintop. You know, we in fact, this is you actually check it. We have been put this call for quite some time, but it was in fact, over the, one occasion was when my mother, Cool and Jerry, former Deborah Johnson, when she had ran for Congress against U.S. Congressman Bobby Rush. That was She ran on the platform opening the files of Chairman Frey. That was the platform she ran on. Then also around 2004, when the proposal for the street to be named Chairman Frey, we had put forth this proposal. So now the combination of things also include, we cannot negate even with the movie, the release of the movie, Judas and Black Messiah. And also the climate. Of the resistance and people acknowledging, because we don't even believe we're worthy of being under surveillance. We're worthy of being assassinated. So there's a groundswell that's been going. It's a protracted struggle and demand, and you know, since so our position is not to even limit it to just that in a subjective way. But put this objective call, for, you know what I'm saying? Because again, the majority of the COINTELPRO directed the Black Panther Party, this is the modus operandi, what's been going down on our people. So we got to continue to push, you know what I'm saying? And also, any conversation we have, we cannot negate that of the counterinsurgency. You know, some people take the position that, you know, we just stick together, we just pull ourselves up out of bootstraps, we'll be all right. This must be inclusive in everything, again, ranging from, you know, how we view the healthcare, how we view education, the judicial system, the music industry. We cannot let up. We cannot wait till February comes around, you know what I'm saying? This was not just about racism and business in regards to, you know, to taking holding the remains to the children. Of moves. This is a machine. This is, you know, this is, you know, there have been green lights given through every apparatus. You know what I'm saying? The schools, so this position must be tied to the political to up the end, you know what I'm saying, and put in the context. At the end of the day, the state is the bottom line. That's the defining factor. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about the healthcare, the schools, this. So we gotta be consistent with the position. We got a climate right now where people are calling contradictions. I acknowledge We got to see the time.
You know, Chairman Fitt, it's interesting because what I was saying to Brother Mike when we were talking, I said to him that it's like this time period is really put in place kind of, and it is revealing so much. So between the corona thing and just the whole dynamic, just right now it seems that this is a time. And it's a time where, and we've been saying all along, the lines are being drawn in the sand. Well, the line is definitely drawn in the sand now. You can't help but to see certain things. And now with this week, with them showing so clearly not only the disregard, for human life, for decency, for, you know, just, you know, I mean, this is so clear again. And so like I said to Brother Mike, I said, listen, we all knew that Trump had a hood in his desk. Even if he didn't put it on, you knew he had one. And so these things are now, in other regards, this time period is showing us. So with that said, when you were saying that, it reminded me the movie, I think, really, like you said, also helped to create that energy. And mm-hmm. and again, you know, there are pros and cons to the movie, but certainly, mm-hmm. I'll say this. I had certainly a greater appreciation for your mother as a result mm-hmm. of the movie. Even though I've been knowing you and your mom for years, mm-hmm. to just kind of be able to think, mm-hmm. you know, in that context. And, you know, because we always talk about your father, but we never talked about your mother. I mean, well, not know, really. You know what I'm saying? So that well, made me go like, yo, wait a minute. You better check yourself here.
Well, actually, also, a lot of people have not even actually talked about, you know, they never really talked about Chandler Free. They didn't know, you know, Chandler Free, the Black Panther Party was. I mean, because the deal is, that's inclusive, you know, the dynamic of, you know, saying, comrade, his widow, Fred did not operate in the vacuum, and, you know what I'm saying, and that's, many people don't even know what a revolutionary is, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, I mean, it don't know what the Black Panther Party was, you know what I'm saying, and that's, you have to acknowledge that, you know what I'm saying, there's been so much misinformation, even what a revolutionary mm-hmm. is, there's been, you know, cliché-ish image of, you know what I'm saying, this out, you know, this non-human being, this non-serving the people, this not, you know what I'm saying, that and people, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, got these reactionary assessments of, you know what I'm saying, what a revolutionary was is, and that's done for a number of reasons, because the deal is, mm-hmm. if it's detached from the reality, that gives people an out to say, well, I can't do that, because, you know, that's not, you know, that's unattainable. And Minister UEP Newman said, people must be able to distinguish a revolutionary from a hero. A hero, and people say, wow, that was a hell of an act, but they can't, you know, see themselves being worthy of being able to emulate it, to relate to it, you know. And don't bank our party, you know, we recognize that's the advanced detachment. However, it's still connected to the people. You know what I'm saying? This was, you're talking about, you know, Chairman Frey, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people try to romanticize revolution, but the deal is, the apartment he stayed in, you know, walking distance from the headquarters, in which there was no mm-hmm. hot running water. There was no hot running water in that apartment. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He led an organization. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They fed a minimum of mm-hmm. 3,500 children a week. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, in the deal, we just had a Mother's Day event at the Hampton House this past Mother's Day. And, you know, it was mm-hmm. at least three or four sisters who came by there who grew up in that area, and they were 35 plus years old, you know, 150 years old, and they said they never knew Chairman Fred or the Black, you know, who he was, and they want to go home and ask their grandmother some serious questions. Why didn't they know? It's a concerted effort, and you know that was even with the movie. You know, some people said, well, they don't think it should have made mention acknowledge William O'Neill, but the reality is, as an old saying, they say, world would never known about Jesus if they know they haven't heard about Judas, you know. And Daniel Kaluuya had commented that Lakeith Stanfield's role was who portrayed William O'Neill. So people had to see mm-hmm. Chairman Fred was not who he was not to really relate to see who he was. And mm-hmm. what's good about this in regards to Black Panther Party, because in so many cases, so many people take positions. A lot of organizations take a position. And we just fight against some sort of abstract bad spirit or, you know what I'm saying, or just some non-tangible entity. The reality is that the federal government, the COINTELPRO, in a concrete way attacked the Black Panther Party, which Jerry Odinga Duncan just got out of jail after 45 years, a week, 2 weeks ago. He was directly impacted. He was directly impacted by William O'Neill. You know what I'm saying? See, and it's important. A lot of times people have to see, no, this is not some sort of abstract, I don't like this person. There was a concrete war waged against the Black Panther Party. There's a concrete war waged against the Black Panther Party comes. You know what I'm saying? They are the agent provocateurs. And I'm not talking about just bad people. I'm talking about people on a mission. You know what I'm saying? And that's important to acknowledge. And they said this is one of the most radical films that came out of Hollywood. They say the word is this even impacted the way that the movie, even the title, The United States versus Billie Holiday. You know what I'm saying? The deal is they acknowledge the role of A. Slinker, an FBI agent, who at the end of the movie,
that's
you see
right.
the footage of him talking you know, with John F. Kennedy, the president. You know what I'm saying? These dynamics, Dr. King. They give us this image of this racist white man, you know, just look out the window in the hotel room just having to shoot him. This is the same Dr. King that President John F. Kennedy authorized his brother, Attorney General Robert Kennedy, to place the wiretap on Dr. King.
Yeah.
So everything impacts our people, our movements. You can literally tie back to one directly, indirectly to the counterinsurgency. You know what I'm saying? I got 99 plus problems, and the pigs are responsible for all of them, directly and indirectly.
Mm. Here's
the movie I watched the other night. Sam Cooke, Lady You Shot Me. I recommend people check it out. Documentary on Sam Cooke. And it's insulting to your intelligence to believe he just got killed in some hotel by happenstance. I mean, you can draw the correlation to stuff that Sam Cooke was on the verge and was doing to with Nipsey Hussle, Tupac, in the music industry, what they were doing, and you know what I'm saying, and the guy Klein, you know what I'm saying, and documents showing how they forged Sam Cooke's signature, you know what I'm saying, and again the political impact. Even with the music industry, what has historically been done, I mean, even you go back to the days of Rome. Rome used entertainment. Rome will have a special gallery for entertainers to come through. You know what I'm saying? They had a policy that when they were depleted of centuries, when some of their soldiers went to conquer other lands, Rome would have a policy that said, okay, increase the games. So they would say, entertain them. You know what I mean? So when you look at the assassination of Sam Cooke, assassination the target of the FBI, that you know, of Billie Holiday, it got to be put in this political context.
Yep, I know. I saw both of the films or both the documentaries or movies that you're talking about. So yes, absolutely. Kim, I want you to stay there. I'm going to check with our family and see if there's any questions or comments for now. Family, we are talking with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. And I just want to go back for a moment before we go to our callers. Chairman Fred, you mentioned the Black Party Panther Cubs. For those who do not know, just tell us a little bit about who and what that is.
Black Panther Party Cubs is the organization. It's kind of the legacy of the Black Panther Party. You see, it's a tough act to follow. We attended now walking in his footsteps with his Panther Paul steps. I'm honored to be international chairman. An organization that, you know, our chapters in France, at least our deputy chairman Franco, Brazil, Chairwoman Suzetti, you know what I'm saying, and chapters and branches throughout the country, throughout the world. Many of our programs, such as the Triple C's, Children, Community, and Cubs, done in the spirit of the Black Panther Party Free Breakfast Program. Our Freedom All Radio, which we have every Wednesday, is done in the spirit of the Black Panther Party Intercommunal Newspaper. You know, one of our mantras is Freedom All, that, you know, so not only taps into the demand of, you know, political freedom, you know, so all political prisoners, but our people in general. One of our major campaigns now is to save and maintain the Hampton House, the house in which Chairman Fred Hampton grew up in. So people can get in contact with us at SaveTheHamptonHouse.org, SaveTheHamptonHouse.org. Right now we're working on our website for the Black Panther Party Club. That's forthcoming. But that's the organization. But basically, in a nutshell, a video we take from a jail cell, the organization is Camden Legacy, the Black Panther Party Club. You know, we our colors are the same colors of the Black Panther Party. As opposed to the berets, our uniform is we call it Black Apple Hats. You know what I'm saying? So we still Cubs. One of our mattresses, we're the great grandchildren of Garvey, offspring of Malcolm, and the Cubs of Pam. In fact, May 19th, next Wednesday, I'll be in New York for Malcolm X's birthday, organizing there. you know what I'm saying, in the spirit of continuing the lineage of resistance.
All right, all right. And one more, what is POCC? Tell us a little bit about that.
POCC is Prisoners of Conscience Committee, and we interchangeably use a different term, POCC, BBPC, Prisoners of Conscience Committee, Black Panther Party, Cubs. That, you know, it was birthed behind enemy lines. In other words, inside the prisons, inside the concentration camps. And that was initiating factor of the Black Panther Party Club / POCC, similar to the Black Panther Party. Initial name was Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, in which their initial responsibility was that to address the police brutality. And so we're not a prison activist organization, but that was a major generator factor for us to organize. So we try to find some point of unity that we can, you know, work with. We have organizations of different walks of life, different ideologies, some point of unity. That's what we had the POCC, the Prison Conscience Committee for Three Hills, interchangeably use those words, POCC and Black Panther Party Cubs.
All right. All right, my brother. Thank you for that. Again, the family, we are committed to bringing you information and bringing to you from the direct sources, by the way. And of course, you hear us talk about various things, but it is also our responsibility to make sure that you have the very distinct and exact kinds of information. And with that, you have a responsibility to respond in some kind of way, either pass that information on, support in whatever way possible, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't just bring this stuff to you just to have the conversation. It's also about making certain that you can get involved in some kind of way. And in this day and age, we can all do something. So with that said, we're going to get ready to go to our live line and engage with you all with some questions, comments, thoughts. And so if you have something you want to share or bring into the conversation, you can press 1 now. And we certainly would love to have you. I want to remind you again, the Umoja Unity Circle is going to be happening on May the 29th with our dear sister Ramona Africa. Is going to be live and in the house. Yes, yes, yes. The only survivor, the only adult survivor from the May 13, 1985 bombing here in Philadelphia. Also on that program is going to be Brother Sekou Odinga, both former political prisoners. Yes, and so again, if you want more information, I'm going to give you an email address as so that you can register, because you do have to register. Registration is free, but you do have to register as a Zoom call. And certainly you'll be able to, you know, be involved. And then I'll give you the information before we close out. In the meantime, let's go to our lines. Caller, you are at 7628. 7268, your mic is open. And welcome to the segment of the day.
I didn't have a question. I'm just listening. That was an accident.
Oh, okay. All right.
Do you want me to call you? Okay. All right, hang up. I'm going to call you.
Okay, family. I just got a call from Sister Pam Africa. So we're going to bring her in a minute, Chairman Fred. So hold on.
Yes.
Okay. Give me a moment. Pam? Oh, okay. All right. All right. So we're still on. Chairman wanted to holler at you real quick. Wait a minute. No, I would have to call you. I got to call you on the other line, though. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, let me call you back when we get off. All right. Yeah. Okay.
All right, family. So she's tied up with something. Jimmy, she told me she was with you earlier today.
Oh, hey.
But I'm gonna call her back when we.
We still on Cloud Thousand. We missed the conversation with Pam Africa, Brother Roger Khan.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. You know, if I can't just jump in real quick. You know, first of all, shout out, salute, Ramon Africa. You know what I'm saying? You see, say cool Odinga. And, I mean, these are living legends. These are living legends. Mr. Conference of Pam Africa. We had stopped down today, so we got in, and we did the mural. Which the phenomenal faces of these living legends, you know, Pam Africa, Ramon Africa, and others. And we was just going, you know what I'm saying, once his comrade, Queen Daphne, and others, we had our suitcases in hand. And we were looking at the paintings of these images. And we were just in the community, and we were leaving there. And it was a situation in the community, you know what I'm saying, and we was walking. Pam Africa, Comrade Daphne called, you know, brother and sisters having some situation. You kind of got it was antagonistic. And so, you know, we had backed up and I ain't gonna cut no corners. It was about to get physical. So, you know, we had to, you know, step down, you know, discuss the brother, you know what I'm saying, and it was discussed first and sisters. Yeah. You know, so, and this is some stuff that, you know, and even in his layman terms, he was saying, like, now we going through so much, man. He said, you know what I'm saying? So now, we politicized, you know what I'm saying? We didn't sound sure, though. You know, we said we know that, you know, it's so much, not just it's easier to release our anger on each other, but, we got to have some crazy
happy.
So we end up dialoguing, you know what I'm saying? First, the initial response was we found ourselves in our community. We attempted to call Frank James, or Chairman Fred said call him Frank James and stuff, but just James is done. So, you know, the first response was, you know, they're going to call the police. So we addressed all
this.
So we addressed it. We had come to the brother and sister, you know, for a while. And this is, I'm just pointing this out. We have to move on a pivot. People, other organizations, they have the state, they have the hours laid out for them, what time they can come in, who they can talk to, what they can say. We not cut from their cloth, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know,
that's
there
right.
are a lot of reactions to their situation in our community, and we have to be right there, you know what I'm saying? And it's a certain feeling, like, you know, like Pam called it, like she told me, she knows, you know what I'm saying? And she said, hold on, what's happening back here? And this is we like to use the term real models as opposed to role models. We have real models in our community, and we don't. People say, "Well, man, you are talking to the police killing us. What about us doing this to each other?" And we deal
that.
We don't have press conferences. We don't deal with it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the damage that's, you know what I'm saying, the trickle down there, and just in the concert of the brother, I say, man, you know, Are you familiar with the movie? You know, you say, yeah. You know, I said, okay, let's be clear. This in the movie we talking about right now, we talking about some real deal stuff with you. You know, he acknowledged it. You know what I'm saying? He acknowledged the contradiction. You know what I'm saying? And Black Panther Party said, and we relate to this, differences amongst the people are reconcilable. However, differences between the people and the state are irreconcilable.
Wow. See, before I go any further, family, those of you who are on our internet hookup, you're going to have to switch over quickly because we're going to lose the live stream for the internet, but you can still catch us on the podcast, okay? So you need to call 319-527-6189. Again, 319-527-6189, and you'll be able to continue with us for the podcast. We're talking with Chairman Fred Hampton, and now I know why she called me. All right, so that's real interesting. But see, again, this is why we have got to really make some assessments now on how we need to move in certain kinds of ways. And I mean in terms of having our own cadres that are, you know, capable, ready, as well as interacting in the community, you see, because we know, you know, what's getting ready to happen. I mean, it goes without saying. This corona thing, again, for some of us has really shown what is about to happen. Anytime they can shut everything down, everything, all over the country, schools, stores, transportation, and for the most part, folk go along with it, they know what they can, and we know what they're planning to do. Kim, stay right there. We're going to go to caller at 9498. 9498, your mic is open. Welcome to the 7 of New Day.
Hold up, Sister Filet, can you hear me?
Hey, Brother Ray Ray, yes, how's my brother?
Hello, how you doing? Hello, Philadelphia, how you feel? Kim and Fred, thank you for running it down. No question, I just say you're 100% right. We had war, and I just felt so bad when Brother Mike was saying, you know, they burnt babies. They don't care. They marauders.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. White man comes in as a marauder.
Yes.
When he said that the thing just hit, because mm-hmm. I thought of it at a different way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And just the struggles that the MOVE organization has went through.
Yeah.
And to see, just to see the films and the burning.
Yes.
This is a vicious, vicious, vicious people.
Heartless.
And I don't think we know how vicious they are.
No.
Thank you very much. I really don't think we know with the pandemic and the black people, the black celebrities pushing it, and white folks is the ones that's fighting. White folks are actually fighting with the lawsuits and this and that, and black folks are just going right on into the ovens. And we are at war. Thank you, Chairman Fred.
Thank you, brother.
Just, when Brother Mike was just saying how vicious and the struggle of black folks, and it just makes you want to holler some more.
In the words of Marvin Gaye, yes, indeed.
And that's why I stay up late at night to listen to Dr. Filet to bring the people on, and that's why I stay up in Brooklyn, William Mackey, and Sister Tawana, and just everybody that do their part and just trying to fight this power, because it's a fight for our lives. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray. And Kim said it'll be in New York for tomorrow, so maybe you all can connect.
Right on. I look forward to it. Will said, I echo the sentiments he just laid out, no doubt about it. You know, it is, as you said, Mike Africa said, you know, the marauders, we are unable to fathom, you know, the lengths. But yeah, the lack of lengths that this system will go to, people keep trying to find loopholes. Well, I mean, what did you say? I mean, were these children non-registered voters? Were they gang members? I mean, you know what I'm saying? People try to find all type of outs, you know what I'm saying? The cop pleads for this system. Like, well, it's something that the people must have done wrong, you know what I'm saying? But you're faced with brutal realities. I'm talking about, you can't, you know, children. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know.
And Chairman, when you talk to Mike, when you talk to him, he'll tell you, because again, this just happened yesterday, and what he conveyed to us is that he just see the body or the remains rather, and they let him see them. And so what he conveyed to us tonight was what he saw, or you know, at least he gave us some indication of what he actually saw. And he said it was gruesome. And this just happened yesterday. So, you know, when you get a chance to talk with him before you
no
do
doubt.
That,
no
you
doubt.
Know, he'll convey
no
to
doubt.
You what happened just yesterday.
No
and
doubt. Yvonne, the daughter of Nelson, Delbert Africa, and also Minister Coach, yeah. To Ramona, you know, Janine, Jen, I mean, every, you know, the Move family, can't, you know, the people's pain reflects, you know what I'm saying? You know, even they talk about elephants. It's even elephants. They say, like, you know, the mourning of their offspring, how they go, you know, go back to certain areas, you know, and whales, you know, with the babies. It's no geographical line. No, in other words, it's, we know, well, that's in Philadelphia. I live down south. I'm from Chicago. There's no statute of limitation, no time period where that happened back in 85. There's no, nothing that's our connection. I mean, there's no gender contradiction. As we say, well, that's okay. That's something a mother can feel. Our people. You hear about when atrocities happen in different parts of the world and certain respective communities. They say a tornado just hit, you know, in the Philippines, and they show you the consulate, or, you know, and they say, well, people, the community in the Philippines, you know, in Arizona, Chicago, the Mexico, something happened in Mexico, and you know, say, matter of fact, this humanity, this is, you know, strike the heart, you know, of humanity in general, but again. The reverb effect, you know what I'm saying, is not, to put it in context, this is not that long ago, because, again, Mike Africa, just also includes in the conversation, I mean, who himself was born inside, you know what I'm saying, these concentration camps, who, you know what I'm saying, and this is, they made the movie Schindler's List. They talked about, like, this is what this is the time of the last living generation that picked. This is relevant. This is still hot on the stove. The scars still open. You know what I'm saying? The memories are still in our brains and our hearts. It should be from, you know, August 8, 1978, May 13, 1985. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this hit. You know what I'm saying? The stitches ain't even healed up, you know what I'm saying? It's still left, you know what I'm saying? It's continuous, and we have to acknowledge it, and we have to say, again, the people's pain reflects, you know what I'm saying? This ain't no cop and no pleas for this case. It ain't no, this don't care no probation, you know what I'm saying? Real talk.
All right, Timmy, we got one more caller. We're going to have time for, and caller, you are at 0978. 0978, your mic is open, and welcome to the segment of New Day. Hold on. I'm trying to get your mic open. Oh, there it is. It's open now. 0978.
Peace and blessings, Empress Chi. This is Brother General Parker from Peoria, Illinois.
Hey, General Parker. Oh, hey, how you doing? You hear your brother's on, Chairman Fred.
I hear,
General Parker,
yeah.
Chairman.
Right on, brother. We just touched bases. Was it at the IR? You can't. Was the last time I seen you, General Parker? Was it Chairman Fresh Tree Party? Was the last time I saw you?
I think we might have been in Wisconsin. It don't matter, but the thing
good to hear your voice.
You know, Empress Chi, I feel like I've lived a very blessed life, you know, because I was able to meet Brother Mike Africa a couple of years ago. I was at a convention in Philadelphia, and I made it a point to meet him, you know, because of his story. And I had already known about what had happened back in the day, but to be connected with him and then you guys and Chairman Fred, you know, and dealing with the Clark family and all the things that history has transpired, and I've been able to participate and be a part of that. Even Mark Clark, find out he's buried like 25 feet away from my mother and everything, you know. But what I wanted to ask the chairman is, especially the work that I've been doing over in Tulsa, Were you guys planning on attending the Tulsa commemoration later this month?
Yes. Bring me back up to speed. What's the date? What's the latest in regards to the dates on that? What do they have set?
It's supposed to be going on between the 27th and June 1st.
Okay. I've been hearing two different dates. Okay, we're gonna work on getting down there. Also, I'm glad you. We're gonna work our way down there. And also, just triggered my memory. I'm gonna put this out there. Also, Father's Day, we be convening down to the grave site of Chairman Fred Hampton in Louisiana. Yeah. But I'm definitely gonna get a Tulsa. Also, yeah, we're gonna get a Tulsa.
Okay.
But I want you to realize, Chairman Fred, that they got two different things going on there in Tulsa. They got the downtown and the Greenwood District and all that, where they done raised all this money off stories of these black people who suffered through that massacre and the descendants and everything. But the work that I was doing there, it was to bring attention to what was going on in North Tulsa, where the black people and the descendants who were ran out of, it's on Peoria Street north of 36th Avenue. So everything that's going on downtown is just for show. But what's going on? Okay.
I'm glad you pointed out, but I'm hearing you loud and clear. And that's something I've developed a sixth sense to be able to come in and recognize the GMOs from the organic tomatoes.
That's right.
Because believe me, they end up with the Black Panther Party, they end up with my family. They will say, okay, we have an event with the Hampton family. They go grab a certain people. So I have a sixth sense to be able to pick up on. Is that live or Memorex? You know what I'm saying? So when I go to different events, I know. Okay, here we go again. That's the artificial. You know, so I have a sixth. I pick up on it. I tell people when I go certain
there you
places.
Go.
Yeah, I pick up on it real, because this system is Machiavellian. They will create a clone of your man. They create some bogus organizations that contain what we do. And I watch. Sometimes I let it stay right now.
Chairman Fred, you got to keep your phone still, because it's picking up some other sounds.
Okay, I was saying you better watch this system, because no doubt about it, they will create clones, GMOs, bogus events. You know what I'm saying? So. And I tell, we have to watch who attracts to it also. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What suckers go for the lollipops?
That's right. Listen, I can bear witness to that, because I done seen Million Woman March stuff that I'm like, who is what? It is amazing. Amazing.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So people always remember that. This system will come back. As Malcolm said, they can't stop it. They have to co-opt it, water it down, change it, make it some independent.
All right, General Parker. So we're going to get you on for next Saturday to really give us that update, because we want to hear more about the attempted takeover and misrepresentation. I did get a chance to see the video that you sent me earlier, so I want to really be able to go through that and be ready for next week. But by next week, we should be ready for a real report, because it'll be getting closer and closer to the actual activities. And I know that some other stuff is going to be definitely manifested between now and then.
Right. I'll be ready.
All right, my brother. Well, you're sounding good, so I know you're going to be ready.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, they tried to take me out, but, I'm hanging in there.
I know that's right.
Yes, indeed.
All right, family. Well, we're going to get ready to close this session out. We want to remind everyone again that on Thursday, that's going to be May the 20th, we will hold our first pre-plebiscite session. It'll be a blog like this one, and we're just going to start reviewing and going over
what it is that we're getting ready to do with the We Charged Inside 21, and we're going to introduce to those who are not familiar with the idea of a plebiscite. And we're looking for a national plebiscite roughly around 2023. It's going to take that period of time to get it, you know, really organized the way that we want. But we're going to begin the dialogue again May the 20th. We'll be here with a special edition of our New Day Resurrection Liberation starting at 9 o'clock p.m. on May the 20th. We'll go for about an hour to start briefing and giving information about what a plebiscite is and how we're getting ready to go about in having one. So tune in. And one other reminder, again, of course, May 29th, again, Sister Ramona Africa and Brother Sekou Odinga will be featured for this month's Umoja Unity Talks. If you want more information because you need to register, you can contact Sister George at George@projectsarn.org. Again, her name is George, George, @projectsarn.org. Or you can contact me, nationalmwm@aol.com, and I will send you the link also for you to register. All right, family, we're going to get ready to close this session out. Just to remind you again, in terms of our Black Asian network, we're talking about independent Black media. Of course, none other than our own Sister Keisha every Thursday at 8 to 10 on YouTube. You can check her, Brother Tab, Brother Ashe, with Thorough Black Talk Worldwide View. Again, Thorough Black Talk Worldwide View every Thursday, YouTube. And, of course, our Greg, Community Cop, Tuesdays, well, actually any day now because they're on YouTube. So you can go there and check out Community Cop on YouTube. And, of course, Brother Ray Ray, if he's still there, Brother Ray Ray, you got anything coming up with the Mackey study group?
No, in 2 more weeks. I must have forgot to send, thought I sent it, but it'll be in 2 more weeks. So,
okay,
Brother
we'll get
Mike
you on for next Saturday. Yeah, we'll get you on for next Saturday, and then we'll be ready for the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're saying
Brother Mike did an excellent, yeah. We did an excellent part two on Hollywood and the Black community. So in 2 more weeks, I'll put it out. Thank you, family.
Oh, that's right. So people can check out any of the – they're now on YouTube also, right?
Yeah, you can – family, you can see all Brooklyn William Mackey Jr.'s lectures on BK, William Mackey Jr. History Club on YouTube. And all of the last two Community Cop, you can see Community Cop on YouTube too. So, family, you can still see the lectures. And I'm going to put the next one on. Thank you very much, family.
Great. Absolutely. Okay. And Chairman Fred, what you got going on Wednesdays? Give them that information.
Right on. Revolutionary love, respect, and appreciation, emphasis to the people in general. We're going to be touching out Wednesday. There's a number of things happening because of Malcolm X's birthday. He would be 96 years old, had not even been assassinated.
Yes.
There's the annual shutdown, the shopping district down in New York, and also I'll be speaking later on that evening at Sister's Place. I can't recall the exact time. They have me banned on Facebook, but I mentioned the flyer get posted up on my Instagram page as the official Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. So that's this Wednesday will be live and direct in New York. Long live spirit of Malcolm X, long live El Hajj Malika El Shabazz. Original love, respect, and appreciation.
All right, good, thanks. And again, family, again, the following day on May the 20th, because we knew a lot would be going on May 19th, so we decided to do it the next day. We'll be introducing, of course, our new unit called the Malcolm X Legacy Collective. And our focus, of course, is the last 2 years primarily of Brother Malcolm's work, which, of course, was about Black human rights and also bringing forth a position addressing or dealing with the ideas and ideals of black nationalism and what we're saying to bring it forward with black internationalism. And so we're having that dialogue again on May the 20th at 9 o'clock, a special edition of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. It'll kick off our weekend conference, which will be our May with Territory Justice. We're getting organized and ready for the Recharge Genocide Mass Assembly at the United Nations. We'll make the announcement on May 19th for the date, and that'll also kick off our new website, which is going to be WCG21.com. Again, WeCharge Genocide 21, but it'll be abbreviated to WCG21.com. All right, Chairman Fred, always love you, Brother Ray Ray. And by the way, family, Chairman Fred is one of our ambassadors for the WeCharge Genocide 21. So when you begin to hear more about it, we'll be connecting with him, of course, with POCC and the Panther Cubs and other things dealing with political prisoners, of course. We'll tell you more about that this coming weekend. All right? So, family, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Mob and hope that we thank all of you for tuning in tonight, even though we had a few little glitches there. But, hey, powerful dialogue as usual.
Right on.
Again, big ups to my sister, Sister Keisha. Also, of course, Sister Pam Africa and my other sister. Of course, Sister Tawanda Jones, okay? These are my warrior sisters that always help to give me strength, and I always appreciate them. And certainly my brothers on these lines, of course, we're talking about Chairman Fred, Brother Ray Ray, and General Parker. Thank all of you. Family, we're going to close out. You know what we say. There could be no real peace, meaning HOCAP, until there's truly Maatic justice, because you know what we say, family, if there's no justice, there's no what?
No peace.
Peace.
Peace. All right, y'all. Until next time, remember, from Moja to the Shinda, together we shall win. Talk to you on Thursday. Have a good Malcolm X day. Peace to you all.
Long live Malcolm X.
Long live.
Ashe. Ashe.